Okay. Good evening. Welcome back to Shmuel Aleph. We are learning Perek Yud Zayin, and we're up to Pasuk Lamed Ches. So we're in the Perek. Of course, the Perek is talking about David and Goliath, and the Perek began with the taunting of Goliath, and then last week we learned about David HaMelech, or again, I keep saying David HaMelech just out of instinct. He's not the Melech yet, but David. Coming to this camp, coming to the Plishti camp, and essentially saying that he's going to be the one to fight Goliath. Okay, so pasuk lamed ches, vayalbesh Shaul es David madav. So this is a very very interesting pasuk. Perek Yud Zayin, pasuk lamed ches. So Shaul takes his clothing, Madov, his clothing, and he dresses David in his garments. Now, this is presumably some sort of armor, because the pasuk then says, "V'nasan kova nechoshes al rosho," that he puts a copper helmet on David's head, by Yalbesh oso shiryon, and he dresses him in a body armor. So he's dressing David in this clothing. Interesting is that this is Shaul's clothing. So keep in mind, Shaul is the Melech, and he's giving his clothing to David. Madav, he's giving his clothing to David, and David's putting this on. And Rashi quotes Chazal that say that this is actually very strange, because if you remember, Shaul is described by the Psukim as being very tall. Mishichmo v'mala. He was much taller than everyone else. He was one of the tallest people around. And the question is, how could this clothing have fit David? Shaul was a gigantic person. He was a very, very tall person. So to put his clothing on David, it would have looked silly. It would not have fit David properly. And yet we see that it did fit, seems to fit David. And in fact, the Chazal Darsha, the word Madav, you know, is related to the word midaso, his measure, meaning that it fit David. As soon as he put it on, it miraculously fit him. Now, as soon as that happened, Shaul saw that, and he became very nervous. He became very scared, because I'm putting this clothing, which should not be fitting this kid, and all of a sudden, boom, miraculously, the clothing just kind of, you know, miraculously shrinks to fit David HaMelech. He got very nervous. He got very nervous. And in fact, Rashi says he got a little bit jealous, and that created an ayin hara. That created an ayin hara. So ayin hara, we know, is really jealousy. That's why we don't like to talk about the things that we have, you know, because of ayin hara. We don't want to cause other people to be jealous. So here he created this ayin hara, and he caused them to be jealous. And we'll see that this is this is something that comes up. This ayin hara comes up now and again when it comes to Shaul and David. That there is this ayin hara that exists,
Rabbi. If he didn't
like his clothing or his uniform, I think even in modern Hebrew, madim is like a uniform. It's like his uniform. It's a word for it. Yeah, Aaron.
Rabbi, if Shaul didn't think it was going to fit David, why did he even attempt to put it on him?
A good question. That's a good question. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. You know, I don't know. Listen, according to the Pasha Pshat, it could be that he just put things on that he thought would fit. Maybe he didn't put, everything on him. He just put certain things on that he thought would fit. But according to the Drash, according to the Medrash, there's an element of foreboding here for Shaul, that all of a sudden, the things that normally fit Shaul are all of a sudden fitting David, right? This is not a good sign for Shaul's Melucha. And, he kind of gets this... He has this sense, and we're going to see later in the parak also, that something's with this kid. You know, this is not a good sign. Yeah.
I mean, I'm not a very good speller in English, for sure. Definitely not Hebrew, so I just Googled the word. Hat in Hebrew is kovah with a hook.
Yes, yes.
A hook.
Yeah, there's a whole discussion about this. The Radak says that it's a mistake. I haven't. It's interesting. I took my text off of the Bar Ilan database. Right. And the Bar Ilan database has it with a kuf. With a kuf.
Safari has it
with a kuf. Oh, yeah. It's interesting. But the Radak.
I had to Google it.
Yeah. I'm almost positive. Hold on, let me look again. I think it's the Radak. And this is Lamed Ches. Yeah, right. So we have it with a kuf. It's usually spelled with a kaf. Right? Usually it's spelled with a kaf, and I have it with a kuf. And yeah, it's really a. He says it's really supposed to be a kuf. One second. Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure. I have to look at this a little bit later. The Radak says something here, but I'm not 100% sure what he's saying. I have to look at it later. Okay. Yeah.
So maybe that's, you know.
That's why it says it here. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Now the Malbim says what's interesting. We're going to see that David's not going to keep this stuff on him. At first, the Malbim says that Shaul thought, you know, okay, this kid is volunteering to fight Goliath. He's going to fight him in a you know, hand to hand combat, like a natural normal battle. So you're going to battle. You know, you got to suit up. You have to put on your armor. You know, we talked about Goliath's armor. Goliath had this incredibly heavy and huge armor on him. So David's got to do the same thing. Now, David at first wasn't really sure if this would work. Keep in mind, David is a shepherd, right? He's not a warrior. He has three older brothers who are soldiers, but David himself is not a soldier. He's a shepherd. So he doesn't really know what he's doing. You know, he's untrained. Yes, correct. So he has physical strength, right? He has physical strength because, you know, he killed those animals and he has courage, certainly. But in terms of training, you know, that he's lacking. So take a look at Pasuk Lamites. So Lamites, the Pasuk says, Vayachgur David es charbo me'al lemadov. So he has this clothing on, he has the armor on, and then he takes the sword. Vayoel aleches. He can't walk. Kilo nisa. Right? Because he never tried this before. Vayomer David el Shaul lo uchal aleches ba'ele. So David turns to Shaul and he says, I'm very sorry. You know, your highness, your honor, I'm very sorry, but I can't walk like this. I can't fight like this. Kiloni sisi, I never tried this before. Vayisireim David me'alav, and David takes it all off. He just takes all this stuff off. Now, Pashup shot here is that, you know, you need this is heavy armor. So in order to be able to walk and to fight in this heavy armor, you have to be trained. You know, you think about soldiers training is, you know, Israeli soldiers training, American soldiers training. You know, they train with all of this weight on them that they have to hike and they have to walk miles and they have to run, you know, with all of this weight because they have to be able to do that in battle. David never trained for that. He may be strong. He may be, you know, he defeated a lion and a bear, you know, like we learned last week. But, you know, he wasn't trained how to fight, how to walk, how to run, how to fight with all of this heavy armor on him. So Pashup shot, he tried it. You know, he was on him. He tries to move. He can't move. And he says, I can't fight like this. I can't move. I can't even move. You know, with all this heavy armor. So he just takes it off. That's the Pashup shot.
Did he have a sword?
he took this sword. He didn't have his own sword, it sounds like. He presumably took Shaul's sword. Now, everything it was Shaul's. It says Harbo. You know, we don't know exactly, you know, maybe it was his, but I don't know why he would have had a sword. I mean, again, he was a shepherd and he was just coming to visit, really. You know, that's how he ended up in this whole situation. Now, what's interesting is that the drash, the medrash, which Rashi and the Radak and others quote here, is kilo nisisi. What does he say? Kilo nisisi. The word nisa and nisisi, so literally I translate it as I never tried this. I wasn't trained in this way. But it also can refer to the word nace. And what, according to the medrash, what David is saying is that if I fight like a regular soldier in armor, people aren't going to be as affected by the nace that's going to happen. David was confident that there would be a nace here to defeat Goliath. He needed a nace, and he was confident that there would be a nace. But he said, the more I look similar to a soldier, the more I'm dressed similar to a soldier, the less people will recognize the nace, and the more they'll make it dependent on, oh, he was a soldier, he was a good soldier, he had good strategy, whatever the case was, and that's why he was victorious. So David said, Kiloni Sisi, this is not befitting a nes. I want people to feel the nes. I want people to recognize the nes. Therefore, I can't wear all of this armor. I can't dress like a typical soldier. And therefore, he took it off, and he decided to go a totally different route. And Pasuk Mem, Vayikach Maklo Biyodo. He takes his shepherd's staff in his hand. That's what he takes. Instead of the sword and the armor, he takes a shepherd's staff in his hand. Vayivchar lo chamisha chaluke avonim. And he takes five nice smooth stones, mina nachal, from the river. Vayosem osam bekli haroim. And he puts them in, he had a special shepherd's bag. He puts them in his special shepherd's bag. Asher lo uva yalkut. And yalkut also is some sort of a holder, a receptacle, or a bag. Vakalo biyado. And he has his slingshot in his hand. And presumably this was something that he carried with him. You know, a shepherd, you know, maybe has a slingshot. It's got to scare away, animals or something like that. So he'll fling some rocks in their direction. So his slingshot he had with him. Vayigash el haplishti. And he now, like this, without the armor, right? Without all of this, the royal clothing, without the sword, he approaches Goliath. He approaches Goliath. Now, the Mitzudas David says, you know, why vayikach makla? Why did he take his staff? So the Mitzudas David says he was trying to trick Goliath. Because if he takes his staff, Goliath might think he's going to come at me and try to hit me with a staff. That's the only weapon he has. So this way, Goliath will be on guard for that, but he won't expect a rock to come flying, right? So if he didn't see anything, then he might say, okay, he's going to throw something at me. He'll be prepared for that. But here he sees his staff. Oh, he's going to charge me and hit me with the staff. Okay, I can handle that, but he won't be prepared for a rock to come flying at him from the slingshot. So that's the Mitzudas David said. This was part of David's strategy to fool Goliath, that he wouldn't be so careful. He would not be so on guard. Why five stones? Right? Obviously, there's no coincidence and there's always symbolism behind everything. So the Radak quotes a Medrash that the five stones refers to the five represents Hashem, Aharon, and the three Avos. Okay, that's the five. Hashem, Aharon, and the three Avos. Now, what do they have to do with anything? Each one of them had a taina against Goliath. And so each one of them was like a little bit of a bal dover. Each one of them was a little bit of a defendant here in this situation and wanted David to defeat Goliath. Hashem, Aaron, and the three Avos. Okay, so Hashem is obvious, right? Because Goliath is coming, he's taunting and mocking Hashem. He's mocking Hashem's people. So that's obvious that Hashem is has a claim against Goliath and wants him defeated. The Avos also. The Avos are the Avos of Bnei Yisrael, and here Goliath is mocking and taunting Bnei Yisrael. So they also have a taina. You know, you want to defeat our children. You want to take away their Torah, which sustains them. So that's their taina. What about Aaron? Where does Aaron come to this? Right? Well, why Aaron? Aaron's kind of out of left field. So the Radak says that Aaron was a Goel Hadam. Goel Hadam. We know that if somebody was killed. So the Torah says that their family members have the right to avenge their blood. Who was killed in Aaron's family? So Chazal say that Goliath killed Chofni and Pinchas. Chofni and Pinchas were the two sons of Eli. They were both Kohanim. Goliath killed them. And therefore, Aaron HaKohen, right, was a shtickle Goel Hadam. He was a little bit, you know, he had this ability to avenge the blood. And that was his time. Hey, you killed my great-great-grandchildren, Chofni and Pinchas. And therefore, that was his taina against Goliath. But that's what it represents, the five stones. Ruach HaKodesh. We don't hear about Shmuel. Shmuel presumably is not here. Yeah. He had Ruach HaKodesh, presumably. You know, David had Ruach HaKodesh. Yeah. Now, it's interesting. The Radak also just points out, why do you have two containers? You know, it says he had the Kli Aroim. He puts the five stones in the Kli Aroim. And then he says, Uvayalkut. Yalkut was also some sort of a bag where he used to hold things. So he says, you know, Pashup Shad, he says maybe he took many stones and he had most of them were in one receptacle, one kli, and the five were in the other. You know, these five were separate because I guess of what they represented. Now the Malbim says here that you see David's incredible emuna, right? His incredible bitachon. Keep in mind, he's going up against, you know, the most powerful soldier in the Plishti army, who's armed to the teeth, and also protected, you know, with all of his armor. And David's coming literally like a shepherd with his shepherd staff, with a little slingshot. You know, that's how he's coming to defeat Goliath, and he's not scared, right? He has total bitachon in Hashem that, you know, he's coming, leman Hashem, he's coming to protect Bnei Yisrael, you know, for Hashem's sake, and to restore the covenant of Bnei Yisrael, despite the mocking and the taunting of this Russia. And he viewed Goliath as an animal, right? He's nothing more than an animal. And just like David says, just like I had success with the Ari and the Dove that we learned about last week, earlier in the Perek, that David had success defeating those animals when it was necessary, he'll defeat this animal also. And that's it. He doesn't, he's not scared. He has the courage. Now, the word Vayigash, the Pasuk ends off, Vayigash al HaPlishti. So the Malbim always picks up on the words. They know the differences in the words. So the Malbim says that the word Vayigash always implies that someone is coming to a more powerful figure. Vayigash elav Yehuda. Yehuda approaches Yosef in Parshas Vayigash, right? Why? Because Yosef is the Mishnah Lamelech. He's the second in command in all of Mitzrayim, and Yehuda is a little, you know, he's a visitor who's coming to approach the king. So Vayigash elav Yehuda. He says here too, Vayigash elav Plishti. The Plishti, Goliath, is a big, powerful warrior, and David is a little shnook. He's a little shepherd. That's the Vayigash. Pasuk Mem Aleph. Vayelech haPlishti holech v'karev el David. So the Plishti now approaches David, right? He approaches him. And the Malbim says that Karev, Holech v'Karev, Karev means he approaches with confidence. It's the opposite of Vayigash. Vayigash means the lower one, you know, the less powerful one approaches somebody more powerful. Holech v'Karev means the self-confident one, the powerful one, approaches the weaker one. V'ha'ish nosei atzina lefanav, and he's got the, you know, his shield bearer is walking in front of him. We learned about this fellow earlier in the Perek, and now they're kind of approaching each other. Membeis vayabet haplishti vayira es David. So the plishti gets a good look. You know, as he's coming close, he sees this, you know, this person coming close to him. He approaches and he takes a look at him and he begins to chuckle. He begins to chuckle. Right? Seriously? This is who the Bnei Yisrael are sending to fight me? Vayivizeyu. And he mocks him. That's what Goliath has been doing all this time. He's been mocking Bnei Yisrael. So here he mocks David. Ki haya nar. He's a kid. Right? He's a little kid. Ve'admoni im yefei mare. Not only that, he's a good-looking kid. Right? Soldiers are not pretty boys. You know, he's like, he looks at this kid. He's a young kid. He's like a pretty boy. You know, maybe his hair was done nicely or whatever. He's like, this kid is going to fight me? This kid's not a soldier, right? He's a pretty boy. He's not a soldier. He can't do, you know, he can't be a warrior. There's no way that he can do this. Now, the Malbim points out, what's the admoni, though? So the youthfulness and the yefei mare, the good looks, are not characteristics of warriors. But the admoni, the Malbim says, is the one wild card. Because Chazal tell us that redheads have a little bit of a toughness to them, right? Redheads have a little bit of a toughness, Chazal say, a little bit of an anger to them that they can channel in the appropriate ways, or, you know, unfortunately, sometimes they can use it in an inappropriate way. So that's one wild card that David had. He had this admoni, he had this red hair, and he had that tchuna, that natural instinct inside of him. You know, a little bit of an aggressiveness that David had, and we know that David eventually, obviously, will be a very successful warrior, but he had this natural aggressiveness, and that sometimes he was even able to overcome those that seemed stronger than him, as we saw earlier in the Perek with the Ari and the Dove. He was able to defeat these wild beasts, right? So what gave him that ability? He had this natural instinct, this natural ability to overcome those that were stronger. And that's the one wild card here, the admoni, that he had going for him against Goliath. Pasuk Mem Gimel. Vayomer haplishti el David. So the plishti looks at David. He's making fun of him. And he says, Hakelev anochi. What am I, a dog? You're treating me like a dog? Ki ata bo elai b'maklos. You're coming at me with a stick. Meaning a dog. You chase away with a staff, with a stick. You know, you chase him, the dog, with a stick. And, the, you know, you maybe you hit him and the dog's going to run away. What are you treating me like a dog? You're coming at me with a stick. What's that going to do? You know, you're not going to be able to defeat me with a staff. By a kalel aplishti is David beilohav, and he cursed David. He cursed David with the God of the Plishtim, Elohav, the God of the Plishtim, would defeat him. And by the way, so the Malbim says also that the Plishti, he wasn't just saying, the Pashup shot again is, you know, you're treating me like a dog, you're trying to chase me away with a stick. That's the Pashup shot. But the Malbim says also Goliath felt embarrassed here. He felt embarrassed. You know, here he's such a chush of a soldier, he's such a powerful, important warrior, and this is who they're sending to fight him, right? You know, send me the best that you got. Don't send me a little shepherd boy with a stick, right? He was embarrassed almost that, you know, like, this is going to be the fight. So he realized that this is just to taunt me, you know, and he got upset. He got angry, and that's why he's cursing him. So the plishti, so Goliath says to David, L'cha elai, you know, come, bring it on, right? You know, come to me. The etna is besarcha la'ofa shamayim ulevehemas hasada. And he says, and I'll wipe the floor with you, and I'll throw your carcass to the birds and to the animals. That's what I'm going to do to you. He's still talking to him. Why do we have to say again, Vayomer aplishti el David? Good question. I don't know. Good question. I'm not sure why it repeats. Vayomer aplishti el David. Aplishti. Yeah. Again, you know, that could be because, you know, he wasn't even deserving of being referred to by his name. You know, you call someone by their name, it gives them a certain cover. We're calling him the anonymous one. He's the plishti. You know, he wasn't deserving of any particular cover here. First of all, he said, the Mepharshim, you know, discuss here, why does Goliath say l'cha elai? You know, come to me, bring it on. Well, Goliath is being lazy. Why is he saying l'cha elai? So Pashup Shat, says the Radak, is that, you know, it was a little hard for Goliath to move. He had this incredibly heavy armor on him. So it's not that, you know, he wasn't so quick-footed in this armor. So Pashup Shat, as he tells David, he sees David's without any armor, so he says, okay, you come to me, we'll fight. You know, you come to me. The Medrash, says the Radak, is that the earth, you know, held on to him, that he wasn't able to move. The earth held on to him, he wasn't able to move. And that's why he says, L'cha elai. Some of the Mepharshim also talk about the fact that it says at the end of the Pasuk, L'vehemas hasoda. Behema, you know, there are two types of animals, chayas and behemas. So a chaya is generally used to refer to a carnivore, like a wild animal that's a carnivore. And a behema is usually used to describe a domesticated animal that's a herbivore. So the question is, why is he saying, I'm going to throw your carcass, I'm going to throw your corpse to the of hashamayim and the vehemas hasada? The behemas and the sada do not eat meat. You know, it's like throwing his body to a cow. You know, the cow's going to sniff it, look at it, and then turn around and eat some grass. You know, so why is he saying that I'm going to throw your body to the Vehemas Haaretz? Hasada. So Pashup Shat, says the Radak, is that behema here is being used in a more general way just to mean animals. Obviously, it's, you know, he meant he was going to throw his body to the carnivores, you know, but it's a general term that means animals. But the Medrash says that David saw a sign, a divine sign here, that if Goliath is saying Levehemas Hasada, which makes no sense, because the Behemas HaSada is not going to eat meat. So it must be that there's something wrong with him. It must be that he's crazy. And this is a sign from Hashem that, you know, there's a weakness here and that I'm going to be able to capitalize and defeat him because of this weakness. Now, it's also interesting. Remember last week we discussed that, according to the Malbim, that Goliath's intention here was to have a fair fight man to man. Right? One Plishti versus one, you know, Yid, one Jewish soldier, and whoever would win, the other nation would become their servants, right? We discussed this, that this was a method of battle, that instead of a whole army fighting a whole army, they would have one representative fight the other representative, and that would be like a symbolic battle, and the winner, you know, would win, and the loser, you know, their army would become servants. So the Malbim says, but Goliath is seeing here that this is not going to be a fair fight. Because a fair fight, you have everyone's armed the same way. right? This kid's not even armed. You know, he's just coming to mock me. He's just coming to taunt me. Says Goliath, you're coming to mock, and if you want to come and fight fair, 100%, I'm ready for you. But if you're just coming to mock me and you're coming to taunt me, then I'm going to just wipe the floor with you, and all, there's no rules, right? All the regular rules and regulations are off the table. If it was a regular fair fight, so then apparently, it says the Malbim, they treated the loser with respect. That even if the winner killed the loser, he would bury him in a very respectful way. It was a fair fight, right? But once it's not a fair, once you're coming to mock me, you're coming to taunt me, forget about it. I'm going to kill you. I'm going to throw you to the dogs. All right. This is not a fair. This is not going to be a fair fight. And I'm not going to treat you with respect afterwards. So now David does not take this sitting down, and he fires right back. Pasuk mem hey. Vayomer David ala plishti, ata boi lai bacheruv uvachanis uvachidon. He says, you know, you're coming to me with weapons. You're trusting in your weapons. Ve'anochi bo'ei lecha v'shem Hashem tzvakos elokei ma'archos Yisrael asher cherafta. I'm coming at you. You see, I'm coming at you with no weapons. I don't need weapons. Because I'm coming at you with the name of God. I'm coming at you. I'm fighting. My bitachon is in Hashem. That's how I'm going to defeat you. Right? And not only am I going to defeat you, but pasuk mem vav, Hayom azeh yisagercha Hashem biyodi. Hashem is going to allow me to defeat you. Hasirosi es roshcha me'alecha. And David, in a little bit of a nevuah, says, and I'm going to cut off your head. Right? V'nosati peger machane plishtim hayom azeh le'ofa shomayim u'lechayas ha'oretz. And I'm going to one-up you. Because not like you said, that you're going to throw my body to the birds and to the animals. I'm going to throw the entire Plishti camp to the birds and the animals, because I'm not just going to defeat you, but I'm going to defeat the entire Plishti camp, and I'm going to throw all of you to the birds and to the chayos. V'yedu kol ha'aretz ki yesh Elokim liYisrael, and my victory will prove to the entire land, to the entire earth, that there's a Kadosh Baruch Hu in the heavens that watches over Klal Yisrael. Now, what does he mean that he's going to defeat the whole Plishti camp? Because David knows, as soon as this guy is defeated, they're going to run, right? If they see that their giant, you know, their warrior is defeated, they're going to flee. They're going to run, and then we're going to chase them and kill them. Okay. Now, this was, you know, this is a chutzpah already, right? David is a little, you know, he's this little kid. He's not even armed. And Goliath is, talking to him, you know, basically, you know, telling him, listen, you know, if you start this, I'm going to wipe the floor with you. And Dove is talking right back. And not only is he giving it right back to him, but he's even, you know, he's upping the ante. He's taunting him and mocking him even more. And you can imagine what this makes Goliath feel, right? Goliath is getting now furious. He's enraged, you know, that this little kid is taunting him and mocking him. He's furious and he's embarrassed, you know, even that this little kid is even like, you know, coming to fight him. So pasuk mem zayin, v'yedu kol hakol hazeh ki lo becherev uvachanis Yehoshia Hashem. And David says, not only will the entire world know, as the pasuk says in the right, the previous pasuk, v'yedu kol haaretz, that's referring to the other nations of the world. Not only will the other nations of the world recognize that there is Hashem, but Kolakol azeh, this Jewish people, right? The Bnei Yisrael, they too will recognize ki lo v'cherev v'achanis Yehoshia Hashem, that Hashem doesn't save us with weapons. Hashem doesn't save us with swords and with spears. Ki l'Hashem ha'milchama, Hashem alone, without anything, without any weapons, is going to win the wars. V'nasan eschem biyadenu, and you will be defeated. You will be given into our hands. Says the Mitzudas David. David's saying, I'm not fighting you with weapons because we don't need any weapons. Hashem doesn't need weapons. He's going to defeat you with or without weapons. When his nation is being disgraced, he's going to stand up and defend them. And it doesn't matter what you have against it. Now, says the Malbim, Bnei Yisrael obviously believed in Hashem. So what's he adding here? They believed in Hashem and they believed in the Hashkachas Hashem. But Bnei Yisrael thought that the Hashkachas Hashem would allow them to win in a natural way. And David is now proclaiming and teaching Bnei Yisrael, no, the Hashkachas Hashem is going to allow them to win in a miraculous way. He's going to allow us to win in a miraculous way without Cherev and Chanis, without a sword and a spear, not in the normal, natural way of fighting. Because Hashem's going to be victorious however he wants and whenever he wants. Pasig mem ches, v'hoya ki kam ha-plishti. So again, the plishti, you know, Goliath hears this. He's enraged. He's furious about what David is saying. And even though, remember, he said to David that David should come to him, now he says, forget it. I'm just going to go kill this kid. You know, enough of this. I'm going to shut him up. I'm going to go and kill him and be done with this. V'ayoki kama plishti, he gets up, v'ayelech v'ayikrav likras David, and he gets up and he kind of lumbers over to David, and the Radak says he's kind of walking slowly because he can't move that fast with all this armor on him. V'ayimaher David v'ayorot ha-ma'arocha likras ha-plishti, David takes off running towards the plishti, towards Goliath. And now, as we know, this is the famous part of the story, Pasuk Memtes, v'ayishlach David es yodo el ha-kli. And again, Goliath is expecting David to charge him and hit him with a staff, according to some of the Mefarshim. David quickly takes out one of the stones from his kli, vayikach misham even, vayikala, and he puts it in his slingshot, and he lets go. Vayaches aplishti el mitzcho, the stone hits Goliath smack in the forehead. Vatitba ha-even b'mitzcho, and the rock penetrates his forehead. Vayipol alpon of arza, boom. And Goliath falls down to the ground. Falls down to the ground. Okay, is he dead? Good question. So it seems like he's not dead just yet. He'll be dead very soon. But he's not dead. He's not dead just yet. Now, the Radak very interestingly says that, you know, there are some people that ask, you know, how could this stone have hit him in the forehead? Goliath didn't have any protection on his forehead? You know, we had Psukim that talked about Goliath's armor, that his whole body was covered with armor. It talked about he had his big iron, helmet on his head. So how did this little rock, you know, get to the forehead? Okay, that's the kasha he said people ask. So he said, first of all, it's not really a great kasha because Hashem could do whatever he wants, you know. Hashem wanted David to defeat Goliath, so, you know, Hashem could make it work. He makes it happen. He does give some, you know, al-pi derech apshat. He gives some explanations for what happened here. So he said, maybe when David referenced the birds, David said, I'm going to throw you and all the plishtim to the birds and the animals. So then maybe Goliath looked up, and the armor that was on top of his forehead kind of, you know, dislodged or moved to the side, and that's when he hit him with the rock. Says it's possible that maybe miraculously the rock penetrated the armor, that even though normally the armor would protect him, but the armor did not protect him here. Maybe there was some little space, you know, maybe there was like a tiny little opening, and again, miraculously, the rock hit exactly in that little tiny space and was able to hit him. Either way, the rock hit him, and he was able to defeat Goliath. Now it's also interesting that the pasuk says "Vayipol al panav arza." So Rashi says, one second, if he's hit in the forehead with a rock, which way should he have fallen? So Rashi says he should have fallen backwards, right? Why is "Vayipol al panav arza"? He fell forwards. Why did he fall forwards? He should have fallen backwards. So some of the mafarshim say that he didn't fall because of the force of the rock. It's a rock, you know, that hit him in the forehead. So the rock hit him, and that weakened him, and he wasn't able to function properly. So once it weakened him, maybe he blacked out or something like that. Once it weakened him, so then he fell forwards. You know, that once he had no koach, so then he fell forwards. That's one shot. The Rashi says, he quotes Chazal, that this was a nace. Really, he should have fallen backwards, but this was a nace that he fell forwards in order to reward David, because David's now going to come and David's about to kill him and lop off his head. So David shouldn't have to walk too much. You know, like we'll shorten David's, it was like a reward for David that instead of falling backwards, and remember Goliath was a very tall fellow. So instead of falling backwards, he fell forwards and he saved David, you know, all of this space, all these steps of walking. So this was a miraculous reward for David. The Radak also quotes a couple of midrashim to explain why he fell forwards. So number one, the Radak says that the mouth that Goliath used to curse and to blaspheme and to mock and taunt Bnei Yisrael, that mouth had to be buried in the ground. So that's why, again, miraculously, he fell forwards because the mouth had to be buried in the ground. And another pshat he says is that Goliath had a picture of the Plishti Avodah Zarah on his chest. He wore a picture of the Avodah Zarah on his chest. So this was a kiyum of the pasuk, "Vinosati pigrechem al pigre gilulechem," that Hashem says that I will make your corpses pile up on top of the corpses of your Avodah Zarahs. So here, since the Avodah Zarah was on his chest, Hashem made it that miraculously he fell, his dead body would cover the picture of the Avodah Zarah. The Malbim also says that there was tremendous hashkacha here, right? Number one, that David was able to hit him on the first shot, right? And he hit him right in the forehead. You know, I mean, it was like a direct hit, you know, in the first shot. So this is an incredible hashkacha. Okay, pasuk nun. Vayechezak David min haplishti bakela uva even. So presumably what this means is that David overpowered, vayechezak, chazak, he overpowered the plishti with all he had was this slingshot in the stone, right? This was a one-shot deal, slingshot in the stone, boom. Vayechez haplishti, vayemisehu. V'cherev ein biyad David. David didn't even have a sword. He didn't even have a sword. All he had was this Kela and the Evan. Now the Radak says that this Evan is not referring to the stone that he hit him with, because according to the Radak says that maybe Goliath was still alive. He was stunned, and maybe he blacked out or something, but he was still alive. So when David got closer, he took a rock in his hand, and he smashed him. You know, he killed him, you know, with the rock in his hand. That's another interpretation. So it seems to be a shaila. Some of Farshim learned that he was killed as soon as the rock hit his forehead. Some of Farshim understand he was still alive, and then David killed him, you know, by smashing this rock over his head, whatever the case was. Good. So he didn't have a sword. The pasuk says he didn't have a sword, right? But he said, remember, David said, I'm going to lop off your head, right? So pasuk in the Nalef, Vayorat David Vayamod El Aplishti. So he runs and he stands over the Plishti. Vayikach Escharbo. He takes Goliath's sword, because he doesn't have a sword. So he takes Goliath's sword, Vayishlefa Mitara, and he pulls it out of the sheath, Vayimosesehu, which is an interesting word. Now, Vayimosesehu, most of the Mefarshim understand that to mean that he had already killed him. Right? Goliath was dead already. He's not killing him with a sword. He was dead already. Either he was killed from the first stone, or maybe he was killed by the subsequent rock that David smashed over his head. Either way, he was already killed, but vayichras ba es rosha. But he takes the sword and he lops off Goliath's head. Vayira plishtim kimes giboram vayanusu. And exactly as David had predicted, as soon as the plishtim see that Goliath had been defeated, they ran for the hills. Right? They took off. And they, well, again, this wasn't a fair fight. This wasn't. There were no rules for this fight. Right. There was no deal. There was no agreement here. So they just ran for the hills. Okay, pasuk nun beis vayakumu anshe Yisrael v'Yehuda vayariu. So they blow the teruah, they blow the shofar as a sign of victory. And what do? And they take off. B'nei Yisrael takes off in hot pursuit of the plishtim. Vayirdevu es haplishtim, and they chase the plishtim. Excuse me, ad bo'acha Gai, until they get to this place called Gai. The Adshara Ekron, I'm sorry, and until the gates of Ekron. Ekron was one of the Plishti cities. And they kill a ton of Plishtim, right? For all this way that they're chasing them, they kill many, many Plishtim. And after they finish chasing them, they come back. And they come to the camp where the Plishti soldiers were camped. They had many, many soldiers. It was a big camp. And they came there by Ashosu, and they totally ransacked the camp. They looted it. They plundered it. They destroyed the camp. Pasuk nun dalet vayikach David es rosh haplishti vayiviyehu Yerushalayim. So David takes the head of Goliath, and he brings it to Yerushalayim. Yes, kelov sam be'ohalo. Now, it's interesting. Rashi understands that this pasuk is kind of out of order, that he doesn't take the head first and bring it to Yerushalayim. This is happening later. We're going to see in a couple of psukim that he comes to Shaul with the head of Goliath. Now remember, Shaul is the king, and Shaul is the one who really kind of sent him on this mission. I mean, David volunteered. So first, he takes the head and he brings it to Shaul, as we'll learn about. And then after he brings it to Shaul, there's a pasuk later in Shmuel which describes how he took Goliath's head and he basically traveled all around Eretz Yisrael with it, showing it to all of the cities in Eretz Yisrael, especially the women and children who had not come out to the battle, basically telling them, you know, the war is over. There's nothing to worry about. Goliath is dead. The Plishtim are gone. You know, you have nothing to worry about. After that, so then he came to Yerushalayim, and Yerushalayim was the final city that he brought it to. The Radak quotes his father, the Radak's father, who says that Yerushalayim here does not refer to Yerushalayim, does not refer to the city of Yerushalayim as we know it, but it refers to Nov Ira Kohanim. Nov was the city of the Kohanim at that time. That's where the Mishkan was. And it's referring to, it was nicknamed Yerushalayim because that was the location of the Mishkan, the Olam Moed at that time. And he brought it to Nov, which was the city of the Kohanim. And he took also the Kalim. He took the Kalim, which was all the armor of Shaul, and he brought it to his house. That was like the souvenir, it seems like. You know, he brought all the Kalim to his house. With one exception, says the Radak, and that is Goliath's sword. Goliath's sword, he put in the Ohel Moed in Nov, and the idea was to remind everyone who would come to the Mishkan to bring Karbanos or to do Avoda would see Goliath's sword, would remember the incredible mace, and that would cause them to do tshuva, to come closer to Hashem. So they brought the sword, and the sword was placed in the Ohel Moed for everyone to see when they came. Pasuk Nun Hey. When Shaul sees, now, so again, we're kind of going back in time here. When Shaul first sees David going out to approach the Plishti, Amar al Avner Sara Tzava, so he turns to Avner, who was the general, and he says, Ben Mize Hanar, whose kid is this? Right? Whose kid is this, this little kid? Vayomer Avner, Chei Nafshecha HaMelechim Yodati, he says, I have no clue. I swear, I have no idea who this kid is. So it's, you know, the obvious question here is why does Shaul knows David, right? Remember David became Shaul's musician. He sent him, but he was also the harpist. You know, he knew him, you know, he knew David well. So, what exactly is this conversation? So the Mefarshim give different approaches. The Radak says that he was wondering, is Yishai a gibor? Is Yishai a soldier? You know, you see this kid has so much gevura, you know, so does this come from his father? Is this something that's natural, that's genetic, that comes from his father? And maybe then he'll be able to be successful. The Mitzvah David says Shaul was going a little crazy. Remember, Shaul had a ruach ra, right? Which we understood was like maybe a depression or some sort of mental illness. And because of that, maybe he forgot. He didn't recognize David. He didn't remember who he was. Now Avner was the general. Yonasan was fighting there also, but Avner was the general. We mentioned Avner before, I think. We never mentioned him. Okay, I have to look again. I remember. Okay. Yeah. So Rashi understands that there was also a conversation here. He knew exactly who David was, but he wanted to know where he descended from, right? Who were his ancestors? Why? Because he says if he came from Peretz, if you remember, Yehuda had children with Tamar. One of them was Peretz and one of them was Zarach or Zerach. So he says if he came from Peretz, then he's going to be able to be Poretz. He's going to be able to burst through and become the king. If he came from Zarach, then he'll shine like a chash of a person, but he won't be the king, meaning he was nervous. We're seeing this again, that Shaul is nervous that this kid who's got this courage, who's going out to defeat Goliath, maybe he's going to be the king. Maybe this kid is going to take over for me. And he's feeling this jealousy. He's getting very nervous. And then you look at Rashi. They had a whole discussion about David. David came from Rus. Maybe he's puzzled to come into Bnei Yisrael at all because she was from Moab. It's only a Moabite, and it's only a Moabite man, not a Moabite woman. Whole conversation there in Rashi, which is interesting. But that's the pshat according to Rashi. The Malbim says that Pashup shot is that he realized if David's going out, remember Shaul promised his daughter's hand in marriage to whoever defeats Goliath. So he's thinking, wait a minute, if this kid defeats Goliath, I'm going to have to give him my daughter. Does he have good yichus? you know, who's his father? Meaning, well, what's his yichus? He was looking into his yichus for the shidduch. That's how the Malbim understands the Pashup Shat. And the Medrash was that because of David's special gvura that he had, he was like, you know, he looked different. His countenance shone. He looked like a different person because of the special gvura that he had. Okay, just finishing up. By Yomar HaMelech, Pasuk Nun Vav. By Yomar HaMelech, Sha'al Ata Ben Mi Zeh Ha'elam. So he says, please do me a favor. Ask who this kid is. Rashi says, why does he call him Ha'elam here? Before he called him a Na'ar. Now he called him an Elam. So this is also to hint. Ha'elam means to forget. So according to Rashi, says, you forgot the halacha that only a Moabite man is puzzled to come into Bnei Yisrael, not a Moabite woman of Rus. So you have to go ask, go do a little chazara in the base medrash to review the halacha. The Malbim says Elam is more chashuv than Nar. So he wanted to give him a little bit of kavod here. He wanted to give him a little bit of kavod. Pasuk nun zayin, ukeshuv David me'akos es haplishti. So now we have this pasuk that we kind of referred to already before, that when David returned from defeating the plishti, from defeating Goliath, vayikach oso Avner vayibiyehu lifnei Shaul. So Avner takes him. Avner is the general. He takes him and he brings him in front of Shaul. Virosh haplishti biyado, and he's got the head of the plishti in his hands. Vayomer he loves Shaul, and Shaul asks him, Ben mi atahanar, right? Whose kid are you? Who's your father? Vayomer David ben avdecha Yishai beis halachmi. I'm the son of your servant Yishai beis halachmi. Why was he called beis halachmi? So says the Radak, two reasons. Number one, he was from beis lachem. Number two, halachmi is also the language of lochei, milchama, that my father is a gibor, that I'm a gibor like my father's a gibor. But says the Malbim, but don't be afraid. Avdecha, I'm ben avdecha Yishai. My father is the servant of yours, the servant of the king. I'm a servant of the king, and therefore what I did was just out of duty. I'm not expecting any reward. Like we talked about, David HaMelech was not doing this for reward. He wasn't doing this for the princess's hand in marriage. He wasn't doing it for the riches. He wasn't doing it for the cover of the family. He was just doing this because he wanted to save Klal Yisrael's face. He wanted to make sure that this Russia, who was disgracing Klal Yisrael, would be done away with. That was the only reason why he was doing this. He didn't expect any reward. Okay, so this is the famous story of David and Goliath, and this really puts David on the map. Right? We were introduced to David already, but this really puts David on the map. And now we're going to see that this relationship, this complicated, already complicated relationship between David HaMelech and between Shaul HaMelech really begins to take form and begins to process even further.